It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it's with great joy that I once again invite you to stay tuned and join with me as we study the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that if you are someplace where you can get your Bible, please open that Bible and get you a pencil and paper and write down some of the scriptures that we refer to today. Today, we're going to continue our study in a bird's eye view, and the books of the New Testament is what we're talking about. We're in study number 15, 1 Timothy, and we're going to look at that right now. And in the book of 1 Timothy, we want to look briefly, and there's no way we can do justice to this book by looking at it quickly, but my goal here is to let us look with a bird's eye view and get an idea of what the books of the New Testament are about and help us to realize the importance of these books of the New Testament. Of course, every book of the Bible is written under the inspiration of the Lord. They're all important. So we know that it is the Word of God as we compare Scripture with Scripture. Well, the background for this book, once again, is that Paul the Apostle is the author of this book of 1 Timothy. Verse 1 of 1 Timothy says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Well, Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, we're reminded here, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's writing it by the commandment of God, who is our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The date of the writing of this epistle is one of Paul's later letters, and it was written around AD 62 through AD 64. Now, all of Paul's other letters, except for Philemon, were written to the churches, but this letter is one of three letters written to two men, and we see those other letters written, 2 Timothy and Titus. And of course, these are the two men the letters are written to, Timothy and Titus. Well, both of these men were pastors or shepherds, which means that they were leaders in their churches. And just as a shepherd is to take care of the sheep, these men were responsible to take care of the believers who were in their churches. And this is why these three letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, are often called pastoral letters or pastoral epistles. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 2, it says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ." Well, so we see that this letter was written to Timothy. The setting for this book is that Paul writes to the beloved friend Timothy, who has remained at Ephesus, and that's the location he used to work with the churches. Well, after their beginning, we see there at Ephesus, some false teachings had taken place, and so it was now necessary to deal with those situations. Well, Paul wanted to straighten some things out. Well, the key verses here, and I believe, and once again, let me remind you that you may see other verses that stand out to you, and actually to you, they become key verses. Well, you may disagree with what I'm preaching as a key verse here, but that's all right. Study the Word of God yourself, showing that you are a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God will bless you. Well, I see key verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, first of all, where it says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus." Well, now remember, Paul's talking to Timothy here. He said, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Well, he's speaking, of course, of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the teachings that Paul would have left there with Timothy. Well, verse 4 goes on to say, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. When I believe those verses are some of the key verses that we find in the book of 1 Timothy, and of course, there are others as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 through 21, I believe these could be key verses as well. Well, the theme of the book seems to be that Timothy is charged to oppose the false teaching with sound doctrine and to guard and teach the church how to uphold godly lives. Well, he's personally charged to exercise godliness and fulfill his ministry, not neglecting himself and his calling. And as we read the book of 1 Timothy and much of the teachings of Paul, we see that the teachings that he's teaching Timothy here come to us as well, that we're all to also follow his writings and look at the theme that he's writing about here and also the purpose of the book or the purpose of the letter that he is writing to Timothy. The purpose also applies to us. And the purpose of the book, first of all, I believe, is to let us know about false teachings. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Well, remember, he's speaking here of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Well, that is so important because, as we study, we understand that that is the only way a person goes to heaven, and that is by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, don't sway from that. You need to hold to that and let people who are teaching those false doctrines understand that you've got their number and that you are going to teach what is right. And you're going to tell the people what it takes to go to heaven. And that is by and through the grace of God that anyone ever goes to heaven. He goes on to say that these false teachers will teach things concerning law keeping. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 11 talks about this. Once again, verse 1, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Well, the Bible teaches us that no person is saved by law keeping. In other words, by keeping the Ten Commandments or trying to work to go to heaven. There is no way a person is saved that way. It's through the doctrine that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul says to Timothy, stand strong on that. Don't sway, because the Spirit says that there's going to come a time when people are going to depart or sway from the faith and try to teach something contrary. Don't sway, Paul tells Timothy. Well, we see people swaying today in the world and trying to turn people from the faith, from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and how that people have strayed away from teaching the gospel as to how to be saved. And Paul also warns concerning riches in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 10, and also chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. He says there, starting in verse 17, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." See, some are trying to buy their way to heaven today, and I suppose they were doing that back then as well. And as Paul wrote this letter, he says there is no other way to heaven. And let me remind you, there is no other way to heaven than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to have riches. But if we put that before the Lord, then we're doing wrong. We need to let God be first in our lives. Don't put anything ahead of God, ahead of Jesus Christ. Well, notice here that Paul also writes about healthy teachings, faith, and a good conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, it says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity," in other words, or love, "out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned." When this in verse 19 of chapter 1, he says, "holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." Well, we're going to have healthy teachings in our churches. We're going to look to the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to have healthy teachings in our churches, to let the Word of God be our guide. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience." Well, something else that Paul's talking about here is godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 says this, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." That's not saying that women shouldn't look like women. It's saying here that they should not be overdoing it. In other words, they should not be doing it to draw attention to themselves, taking away, once again, from the Word of God as they attend a church or as they are part of a local membership, congregation. And they are to represent the Lord. They are to represent godliness. Well, and then we keep studying in the book of 1 Timothy, and we see that Paul also talks about good works. He's telling us that we need to work not to be saved, but because we are saved. And Paul first warns about false teaching, and secondly, he writes about healthy teachings, which we've looked at. And third, Paul writes about Timothy's specific responsibilities. He talks about his teaching responsibilities. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15 says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Well, Paul goes on to talk in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 about teaching, how that Timothy is to teach these things which are sound. And there are so many things that we could look at in this book, and we want to look now at some applications, the application lessons, the uselessness of striving about words. Well, what are the type of words that men strive about? False, endless genealogies, the law, according to Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 4. Do you know Him today as your Savior? If you do, you need to be living for Him, and you need to be reading the books that we're going through, these epistles. You need to read the book of 1 Timothy, and this gives us an outline as to how we are to conduct ourselves, and it also gives how that the ministers of God's church are to conduct themselves. Trust Jesus. Know Him as your Savior, and if you do, you need to be serving Him today in spirit and in truth.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.